front page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today, our guest is Mr. Fred L. Cook over in Carter County. Fred lives outside Olive Hill, and I guess I'm not going to say a budding author, Fred, because that's not true. You've been doing this now for about, I think you mentioned, 8 years, so I would say now an established author from Carter County. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for spending time with us today on the front page.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, tell me a little bit about your background. You're a self-published author, and I know that I've had a chance to read one of your books, and you've written two. One is called The Hog Killers. The other one is A Taut Rope. And I'm just kind of curious what your background is and how you developed this interest in writing and how you got into it.
Well, the interest all came from, as I told you earlier, I had an experience, I'll say. One evening I was hunting, or trying to teach a couple of dogs how to hunt, you know, or get them started. They were just pups. And I had the idea where we were going to hunt and how, you know, I was going to manipulate it. And the dogs weren't really interested. They were, as I say, they were just pups, and they didn't really get into the hunt. And so I thought, well, I'll make a short trip of it. And I dropped down into this one holler, and it is a strange place, always had been for me. I could go in the middle of the day, and it was graveyard quiet inside that holler, and birds weren't hollering. And of course, it's always eerie and, you know, make your hair stand up and such as that. So anyway, this was like about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and we stepped down into the holler, and as soon as we did, the night sounds, you didn't hear any more. And so I said, well, you know, I'll just go down the right-hand side of this hill and drop down into the bottom of the holler and go on home, you know. And as I got down, I went past these big outcrop of rocks. And I got in front of the one, and the dogs started barking, and they started running. They ran probably 15 foot in front of them, and I thought, well, you know, they're started, you know. This is our first hunt, you know. And all of a sudden, they stopped running and started whining and run right in behind me. And one looked him around each side, each leg, you know. And I thought, oh, man, I could feel like something was watching me as well. And then you might imagine this even increased that feeling. But so anyway, we made a real quick end to it, and I went on home. And the next morning, I told Mom about it, you know, and she said, well, your great-great, I think it was great-great-great-grandfather, was hung on that rock, you know, on that ridge. And so I never really thought that much about it. And I was telling my mother-in-law about, you know, all that had happened, and she said, well, what are you going to do about that? I said, that's a book, you know. And she, you know, we just laughed. And, of course, I had no intentions of writing a book. I never could see myself being an author. Always enjoyed telling a story or a tale, a joke, you know, but never writing anything. And so the next day when I came home from work, I heard her ask my wife, said, has he written anything yet? And my wife said, I don't know. Said, I'll go ask him. So she came in and said, Mom wants to know if you've wrote anything. I said, well, no, not yet, but give me a few minutes. My mother-in-law was sick, and she was staying with us and we hoped she would recuperate, but that part didn't turn out. But anyway, I wrote, you know, 5 or 6 pages, and then I hollered for my wife. I said, here, try this. So my wife took the paper and sat down in the lounge chair. And my mother-in-law sat in on a footstool. And as my wife told the story, my mother-in-law sat and looked across the room at the blank wall. And as my wife read, I could see she was visually seeing everything that my wife read. And so that gave me confidence enough to say, well, you know, maybe I can write something. I never thought that I could write anything that anyone would be interested in anyway. I mean, I'm just a common person, and, you know, that who would want to read what I, you know, anything that I had to write.
What was your profession before?
I worked at the Marathon Petroleum in Ashland. I was an environmental technician, monitoring air and water and soil, such as that.
So you got into this where the point where you said, you know, I like to tell stories. I've told a story. I've actually written down a story. Someone seems to have enjoyed this. And now I've got to find a way to turn it into a book, because writing a few pages and writing, say, a series of short stories or even a novel or something like that, it's a daunting task. I mean, that's, you look at this, it's kind of like climbing up a big mountain, because it's like, can I do this? Because do I have several hundred pages in me or a couple hundred pages or whatever?
That's exactly right, you know, and I never realized or never thought about the whole process, you know. I just thought, I'll write the story down. And it's a strange thing. Once you get writing, it just, your mind is just flooded with what you are to write. And it'll just like, it comes just faster than I can write it sometimes.
Did you use an outline of any kind to make sure you didn't forget any thoughts? Or
I didn't on the first book. After I took a writing class, and they gave me an idea about an outline such as that. You take like a blank sheet of paper, and then you'll just write ideas that you have that you might want to put in this book, just anywhere on that paper, you know, not chronological or anything, you know. You just put it all over the paper, and then as you write, then you can look and say, oh yeah, I want to put this in. And then you just write that in, and that came to be a pretty good idea, I think.
When I read The Hog Killers here, the one thing I noticed is it's excuse me, it's an Eastern Kentucky story. It's a story from this area. It's about people from this area. Are the stories in that book, is that true? Are all the things in there true?
Well,
or maybe did you take some creative license with some things?
Exactly. It is a novel, you know. So there's a lot of truth in all of my books, but you know, to make it a story that someone would want to hear, you know, you have to take liberties, you know, with it. So I took a few liberties.
It works for Oliver Stone, so it certainly can work for Fred Cook, well, I'm sure,
absolutely,
too, as well. But this is why I had you on the show, is because the books that you have written are based on life in Eastern Kentucky. And in The Hog Killers, which is the book I read, it was kind of days gone by.
Exactly.
Things that used to be that no longer are, perhaps, in this area for the most part. But I found it interesting because it chronicles the story of an individual who grows up. He's got a friend who has a pretty tough upbringing with a father who doesn't like him very much and treats him in a pretty poor fashion. And I think that it was a very well-told story. Now, tell me a little bit about the other book, A Taut Rope, because that's one I have not read.
Well, The Taut Rope is a lot along the same idea. It's growing up in Eastern Kentucky, and I like to tell about life growing as we grew up, how we lived, and a lot of things we had to do, and how we had to make things work for us, you know. And this book, A Taut Rope, it's about this holler, I'll say, and all that has happened in this area, and how people have been missing, and some were found maybe 20 miles away, and they would tell tremendous tales about what had happened to them, which no one would believe. And they thought, you know, they figured they had just, you know, lost their mind. And that's, and I try to sort of a third party, more or less, I guess, as I write. And I tried to relive this and how this one person sees it all, you know, so I tell it through his eyes.
Are any of the characters in either of the books sort of based on you?
Well.
Or maybe some of your experiences, yeah, or maybe? Or?
They are, you know, there are a lot of the experiences in these books that were mine. And a lot of them were my friends or my parents, you know, like where my great-great-great-grandfather was hung up on the hill, you know, that's part of the family, you know, and it's just tales that I'd been told. But most a lot of what I did or what I have done, I try to incorporate into my stories.
It's interesting how you've woven all this together in the sense that you've taken experiences of your own life and those of, say, people that you know and turned them into maybe one life, essentially, just one person's story.
Yeah, sort of, you know, sort of tie it all in because, you know, back when I was young, as I say, back when my hair was short, you know, people were more personable, you know, and neighbors were close and treated each other like family, you know, and so you were real close. And like in this book, you know, it is just a collection of all that, you know, all the families, you know, and all the interaction that you have. And I just try to, I want to let people know that Kentuckians, you know, are good people, good, honest people. Hillbilly is not a bad word. I'm proud to be a hillbilly, you know. But they're honest, they're trustworthy, they're true blue, you know. So I would like people to know that and not think of us as just dirty old roughneck, rednecks, you know, and so on.
Well, they say you should write about things you know about, and everyone has a story to tell, and obviously you realized at some point that you had a story or stories to tell.
Well, that's true. I think that, you know, you should write about what you know, and but, you know, the interest. You never think that no one is interested in what you do because, as you said, everyone has a story. And everyone wants to tell their story, but, you know, for some reason, they don't.
I think because to you, your own life might be boring because you're in it every day.
Right.
And you're so immersed in it, you don't see where the interest level could be from the outside. But someone looking at it from an outside perspective and looking at you and say, hey, that's kind of interesting, you know, what you did when you were a kid, you know, and you know, the hunting or whatever you did in the woods and that, you know, the stories you had with your friends and doing whatever. I mean, they see things differently about your life than you do because you live it every day and it's sort of second nature.
That's exactly right. You know, I call the average Kentuckian, I call them the common people, you know. People grew up around where I did, you know, because, as you say, this is just commonplace stuff, you know, and that's like on the hog killers, you know. I probably go into the hog killing part maybe a little too much for some people anyway, but that was part of life. There was a family, usually in every community. That's what they would do. If you didn't have three or four boys or two or three boys or whatever in your family that could kill the hog and take care of the meat and all, then he would come and they and kill that hog for you and dress it. And he would do that for a portion of that hog. Money, you know, wasn't necessarily had any part of it, you know. It was just more on the barter part, you know. And, you know, it was just a way of life. And the commonplace stuff. You know, when we were young, you know, there weren't a whole lot to do. You know, you worked. When you got your chores done and all that needed to be done, then you had time to fish, to run the hills, or whatever, you know. And there weren't but maybe a couple boys, you know, at were within, you know, 5 or 6 miles. So it's not like you could get together and have a basketball game or anything, you know. It's hard to play basketball with one or two people, you know. One-on-one's good for a little while, you know. And that's, you know, that was just part of it, just being a part of nature and what you could see and what you could feel. And we'd leave out in the morning and wouldn't come in till dark sometimes, you know, when we had a free day. We'd eat hickory nuts and pawpaws and beech nuts and whatever there was we could find to eat, you know, and then we would come home. And no one was worried. You didn't worry about anyone abducting you, you know, or anyone.
There wasn't anybody there to abduct you.
Well, that's true, too. That very well may be true. But if there was, I mean, people just weren't like that, you know. They were friendly.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Fred Cook. He's from Carter County, lives near Olive Hill, and he's a self-published author. And we're talking about his works. One is called The Hog Killers. The other one is A Taut Rope. And we will take a break right here on the show. Come back with more in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, glass bottles and jars, books, newspapers, magazines, and mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
I'm not talking too much.
Welcome back to Front Page. I'm Chuck Mraz. Today our guest is Carter County author Fred Cook, that is, and his books are The Hog Killers and A Taut Rope. And Fred, we mentioned that you're self-published, and I know that that's becoming more in vogue in the sense that more and more people are doing this because they do feel like they have stories to tell, and so many of the established publishing houses will only take established authors. And it's kind of one of those things that they told me when I was out looking for a job in broadcasting out of school. Well, we want you to have experience before we hire you. But I said, well, how am I going to get experience if nobody hires me? Well, how are you going to become a published author unless someone publishes your work? But now you have this self-publishing thing, which is a great avenue for guys like you.
That's exactly right. But as you said, it seems to be something that, you know, almost everyone seems to be doing. It's just, if you're an unknown author, you know, it's hard to move a book, you know. The people you know, the people you grow up with, you know, yeah, they may want to know about your book, about, you know, what it's about, because maybe they may be in it, you know. But it's just hard to move a book. But in the publishing houses and such as that, you may be able to get into a real small publishing house. But anymore, a lot of people want to charge a tremendous amount to publish your book, and then plus they will get probably 80 or 90% of the income of that book, plus what you had paid them. You know, and that's not too many people can do that, or definitely shouldn't do that. You know, I had been had that presented to me several times. I'll do it for this or that, but, you know, if it's going to have to cost you that much and no more than my books will be, you know, publicized, circulated, you know, that's, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, the interesting part about this is that obviously being self-published, it's probably prevented you from getting national exposure for your work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you've gotten a lot of regional exposure. And, you know, I guess what you told me earlier was that you've been pretty surprised by the fact that your books are so popular here in the eastern part of Kentucky. But, you know, I'm not really, because you talk about life that people would relate to and they would understand.
Well, that is true. You know, you're as I say, your friends and neighbors, you know, they want to know, you know, they may say, well, you know, we'll look at one book and see what he says, you know. But then after they read one book, they say, well, you know, that wasn't bad, you know. When are you going to have another one, you know?
So the pressure is always on then, Fred, isn't it?
Well, it does seem so. But, you know, you can't rush it. You know, it'll come in its own time. And when it comes, I'm talking about comes into your mind to write, then you have to write then. Like if it's in the middle of the night, it's like poetry, same thing. It'll come to you in the middle of the night, and you have to get up and you have to start writing it and write it down, because when morning comes, you know, that's gone, or it is for me.
We've got a few minutes left on the show. I'm guessing you have another book in you still. Are you working on something right now?
I am working on something right now. It's a sort of a prelude to The Tightrope, and it's about young men going through the Civil War and then coming home and what they have to confront at home, and what it had caused this strange thing in this holler, like in The Tightrope.
Okay, so you're basing it on an experience from your family history then?
Yes, yes.
So are you a Civil War buff?
No, not really. I mean, I enjoy it, but I'm not a full-fledged history buff or anything to that effect.
Do you have to do any research for a story like this?
Oh, have to, yeah, because I want it to be about Kentucky, so you need to know about certain battles, and, you know, because I, like you say, I want people to be able to say, well, and I don't believe that happened. If they look into it, they'll have to see that, you know, this was, you know, come about.
Well, it seems to me that obviously you'd like to make a buck as much as the next guy, but at the same time you do this because you enjoy it.
Yes. If I was doing it for the money, I would be in big trouble.
You'd be out there eating pawpaws again, huh?
Yes, pawpaws would sound good, yeah.
Well, tell us how people can get copies of your books, The Hog Killers and A Taut Rope.
Well, they can get them. I have several different stores that I distributed books in, like the Morris Bookstore in Lexington, Bakery Blessing Bookstore in Lexington, the Coffee Tree here in Moorhead, the Chicken Coop at Grayson, and Horton and Brown Pharmacy in Grayson.
All right.
And also Carter Caves.
All right. Is it on Amazon, too? Or?
It is on Amazon, yes.
All right. We'll tell people again that the books are called The Hog Killers and A Taut Rope. Fred, thanks so much for coming over and spending time with us today on Front Page.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Again, our guest today on Front Page, Carter County author Fred Cook. I'm Chuck Morales, host of the show. We'll see you next time.